The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord. Holy God, I pray that you will send your Spirit upon us, your grace, your compassion, your love. Light our hearts, our imaginations on fire so that we may do your work in the world today and always. Amen. Have a seat. All right, this is a story that many of you have heard, but it's been a while, so maybe you won't remember it. Also, it's probably new to a fair number of you. In my last parish, I've been here for 13 years now. In my last parish, we had a young man in the congregation who, at the age of, I believe, 7 or 8 years old, if I remember correctly, was riding in his father's Jeep on the dunes of Cape Cod, which is kind of illegal now, but it wasn't at the time. And they hit a dune, and Evan flew out, and his father drove over him. Severed his spinal cord right about here. His father is actually, or was actually, a world-renowned neurosurgeon at Boston General, but unfortunately he was extremely intoxicated, and his first reaction was to lift Evan up, put him in the Jeep, and race off to the local hospital. Needless to say, Evan will be confined to a wheelchair for the rest of his life. His mother, Nancy, I noticed during gospel readings like today, where there are these healing events, when the gospel would start, she would get up and walk out. She might come back at the peace, she might not. She might come back at coffee hour, she might not. But this would happen on a fairly regular basis, and she wasn't that kind of person. You know what I mean? She's a good and faithful soul who would put up with almost anything, including a bad sermon. But during these healing readings, which there are a lot of, particularly in Mark, she would get up and she would walk out. And I said to her one day, I said, "What's up? What's going on?" She said, "I just can't listen to that anymore." She goes, "I have prayed and I have prayed and I have prayed for my son to regain his mobility. He is a wonderful and intelligent and just a lovely young man. Why is God not hearing and answering my prayer?" We talked a little bit about that and just kind of sat with that question for a while. And then some time passed, and I don't really remember how long it was, but it was a fairly significant amount of time, maybe a year or so. And I started noticing that she wasn't getting up and leaving. It just kind of, you know, like one of those things, all of a sudden one day you're like, "Oh yeah." And you can't even remember when it stopped happening. I noticed. And I said to her, I said, "What's changed?" She said that actually God has answered my prayer. I mean, Evan will never walk again. Everybody knows that. But he is this wonderful, extremely well-adjusted, brilliant young man with friends and all kinds of things going on in his life. And she's like, "He's whole. He just doesn't happen to be able to walk." It's one of those moments when I'm asked if I've ever experienced a miracle that is kind of on that list. And what's interesting is to this day, there's a very large cross about that size hanging over the altar at that church that was given in thanksgiving for his healing by his mother. I have told that story so many times, and to this day, it still chokes me up. 13th century philosopher Meister Eckhart, there's a change of direction, huh? Meister Eckhart said, the only prayer you need to know in life is the prayer of thank you. I would like to suggest that Eckhart was half right. The other prayer you need to have besides thank you is the prayer of help. The prayer of help. It is a transformative moment in many of our lives when we realize that we're not in this alone, nor can we do it on our own. That we cannot be whole without the holy. However you define that, whether you define that as family or as community or as something divine that moves throughout the universe or the hands of Jesus, and I would suggest all of the above, you can't be whole without the holy, and you can't be transformed by that until you are willing to just pray that simple prayer of help. It can become transformative. It is that moment when we come to the understanding that we are all desperately in need of forgiveness. Help. Help me. Like the bumper sticker used to say, there will always be prayer in school as long as there are tests. You know, we have this moment that follows us throughout our lives, whether it be, you know, as a young, you know, student who is up at night panicked about a test the next day that they are absolutely convinced they did not prepare for, probably because they didn't. Or whether it be, you know, a college student experiencing something new and feeling isolated and separated from family. Whether it's a young parent with a newborn. It's that place where that thank you and that help come together. You lift that child up for the first time and you're like, thank you. Help. And it follows throughout our lives. It to the very, very end. That need to cry out, that primal need to cry out for help. When I was in seminary, my middler year, that's the second year, the end of the middler year is the absolute crunch time in the seminary experience. It's where all your canonical testing is taking place. It's when they do the middler review, when all your professors say whether or not they recommend you for ordination. It's when the diocese decides whether or not you're going to move on in the process. It's when classes are at their hardest. It's a lovely system we have set up. And when I was a middler, the final semester of my middler year, when all this stuff was piling up on me as I perceived it, Priscilla gave birth to Henry, and he was very sick. Now, anybody who's met him recently knows that he got over it. But he was very sick. And we spent 10 days in the NICU praying about this. It was one of those bizarre experiences where he was there almost full term. He was big by NICU standards. There's all these tiny little babies who had been born very, very early, and yet he was one of the sickest. And though he looked so big compared to them, he was actually about like this. And I went to I was losing sleep. I just could not sleep. And one of my kind of internal response to stress is insomnia, which is like super counterproductive. And I do most of my panicking somewhere between 2 and 5:30 in the morning. I also do most of my sermon writing between 2 and 5:30 in the morning. It's a very productive time for me. And I went to my advisor all in the midst of this Miller review nonsense. And he's like, how are you doing? I'm like, horrible. He had a sense of what was going on in our life. And, you know, Priscilla being Priscilla was, you know, steadfast and there and ready and taking care of Henry and doing all those things. And me being a young father with another young child at home was pretty much in a state of panic. And Chris said to me, my advisor, have you ever thought of handing this over to God? And I'm like, what does that mean? He goes, do me a favor. Tonight when you lay in bed, offer up this weight to God, not on the condition that it will be taken away, but on the condition it will be reserved for later. So my prayer began something like this. You know, God, I can't deal with this right now. I need to sleep to be available to my wife, to be available to my children, to be available to the things that I've been called to do. Please take this from me. I promise you, after a good night's sleep, I will take it back. And this became a nightly pattern, and it actually worked. And what's interesting is when you're not tired, you're a lot better at dealing with crisis. Help. 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 And we all have those moments in our lives. Now, the second part of this is the first where I started with this idea that the only prayer you need in your life is the prayer of thank you. Gratitude, I believe, is one of the most powerful human emotions that there is because it can drive us to do the most amazing of things. It can also drive us to do pretty inane things from time to time. You know, sometimes, you know, you just, you get filled with that stuff and you just want to respond to it. And so, yeah, I think gratitude is just this great, it's just this great and powerful human experience. I was asked recently by someone who doesn't know me very well, but had spent a little bit of time with me, on a scale of 1 to 5, how humble do you think you are? I was like, wow. Depends on who you ask, doesn't it? And my response to him was, I don't think it's about humility. I like to consider myself an extremely self-confident man with a great sense of gratitude in my heart. I just do. I've been lucky. I know I've been lucky. I know I've been lucky. Like most of us, life has been good. Even at the hardest of times, we've had maybe somebody else, or we've had life has been good. Again, no matter how hard it may seem. So a couple of weeks ago, Priscilla and I, this is story time. So a couple of weeks ago, Priscilla and I had the opportunity and real privilege to be in Northern Virginia at Virginia Seminary, where I graduated from, and to spend a little time in Georgetown. We went down for the consecration of the new chapel at the school. The old one had burnt in a devastating fire. And they finally, over years of raising bazillions of dollars, built this magnificent structure. It's just perfect. Also, it was the 20th reunion of my graduating class from seminary, and a lot of other things were going on. And it was just one of those weeks that was perfect. You know, got to visit, most importantly, with friends who I'm very, very close to, who we don't see much of each other because we all work on the weekends. To meet people I didn't know who are on the same journey as I am. I love meeting new seminarians because you just want to say, it's okay. It's okay. And as I told Ian Markham, the dean of Virginia Seminary, only in Virginia's way could they pull off perfect liturgy, perfect music, you know, perfect company and fellowship, perfect food, and even the weather was perfect. Ian, of course, took credit for that. Got to listen to Archbishop of Canterbury preach, which I was a little apprehensive about. I'm not a big fan of the English hermeneutic. And it was brilliant. It was inspiring. It was really a neat moment. So it was just a great week. It was a great week. And the last couple of days, we spent visiting with some folks in Georgetown. And on the last night, Priscilla and I were by ourselves. And we were sitting up, Old Glory is this wonderful barbecue place on the corner of Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, right behind that bank that's there with a gold dome. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about, right? And so we're on the second floor bar, which is outside. And this is all very important. We're on the bar, the second floor of Old Glory, which is outside, sitting at the rail. The problem is they've got some of the best real estate in the United States, and the bar overlooks the parking lot. And so we're overlooking the parking lot, which is fine. It's a beautiful night. I'm with this woman I love, and it's just been a great week. And so we're sitting there having a cocktail, and I notice that along the side of the building over to my right, a homeless man has set up camp. A couple of overturned grocery carts, a blanket, mattress, pillow, probably everything he owns in the world, which isn't a whole lot. And I was watching this, and as time went by, I noticed he's settling in for the evening, and I had this weird experience of the perfection of my week and the need to respond in some form of gratitude. So I asked the waitress if she could pack up for me some food to go, going heavy on the cornbread, which is really, really good. And so she brought it to me in a bag, and I disappeared. And what I did is I went down and I gave it to the guy. We had a nice little conversation. It was lovely, whatever. It's not about me. It was just about this moment. And as I came back, there was another bourbon and water and a glass of wine sitting there that I had not ordered. And the young bartender, who looked probably barely old enough to tend bar, had asked Priscilla where I had gone, and she told him. And so he bought us a round of drinks. And I thought to myself, and actually what has stuck with me through this experience was, you know, I had this opportunity to express this gratitude that I had. This guy who probably hasn't had a decent thing to eat in some time got a meal, a sense that somebody cares, and whatever. But the thing that has stuck with me was this young man, this bartender. And I only hope that something about the interaction between me and this gentleman down on the street would teach something of the possible to this young bartender. Our ability to pray, our ability to cry out for help, our ability to express our gratitude, to be thankful, is transformative. It's transformative in our lives. It's transformative in the lives of the people around us. It's just one of those things that there just aren't enough of in the world. Those moments, those things where we are able to be fed by the divine at a moment's notice, anywhere, any place. That's redundant. Anywhere, anytime. You know, today we have a baptism. I'm going to wake you up, baby. Come on. All right, Audrey. Come on, sweetie. Oh, this little girl is so good. Her name's Audrey. Her name's Audrey Jean. And I paid her extra for that. There is no way. Oh, I'm sorry, sweetie. There is no way that you can sit there and see this beautiful child and not be able to have some grasp of the possible. We don't know what Audrey's going to grow up to be like. I have 3 children of my own. Good luck. But as a community, as a family, out of gratitude and out of a need to cry for help, we're going to try to be a part of that, of Audrey's spiritual journey, of the spiritual journey of each and every one of us in the pew. Because we have been given this amazing tool that we're calling prayer. And the thing that I need to remind you, and where I'll close, C.S. Lewis said, remember, prayer does not change God. Prayer does not change God. Prayer changes you. Amen.